Well, let's open our Bibles. I'd like for you to open your Bible this morning to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and we'll start at the beginning. We're preparing for the Lord's table, and I thought, what greater book to go to than back to where we've been, the book of Hebrews. So I thought that maybe we could, a lot of times as we do the verse-by-verse exposition of Scripture, and we take the microscopic view of each of these passages, and we've begun in chapter 8 now. We're excited about chapter 8, but we're going to leave off for a little bit, and I'd like to step back for you, for each one of us, just to take kind of an overview of where we've been in the book of Hebrews. So how many of us can like really walk through chapters 1 through chapter 7 and can kind of think through the visual overview or structure there from Hebrews chapter 1 through chapter 7? And if you can't do that, I'd like to encourage you to go back and just browse through those chapters to get yourself to the place to where you can think through the things that we've studied over these long months and actually years now in the beautiful book of Hebrews. But remember the big things. And the big things are that Jesus is our superior priest. He's the one that came because it was necessary. He is the one that was able to accomplish what was needful for us. And as the Scripture tells us, that Christ, as He took upon Himself flesh, and He did become the offspring of David, and as He did, that He was made perfect, perfect in obedience, perfect as a human being, the second Adam who was not. I love the way Dr. Ryrie says, speaks of Adam in the book of Genesis. He says Adam had untested righteousness, and that means that he was innocent. He was like a little baby, but his righteousness had not been tested. And actually, when he was tested, he failed and stepped into obedience, into rebellion against God. And so the first Adam failed. But when Jesus Christ came and took upon Himself flesh and became the offspring of David, the Scripture tells us that He succeeded, that He became complete. And having been made perfect in His obedience, I do always the things which please Him, He said about His Father. And our Lord Jesus was without sin. He became the very necessary sacrifice. And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal life. So we really, when we study the book of Hebrews, we're looking at the exalted Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and His character. It's a beautiful book about the superior Christ, the superior priest, who came to take care of the issue of sin with believers, right? Okay, so I want to take just a kind of an overview here and just want for you to think through it. I didn't provide you notes this time, but you can jot these down if you would like. But when we begin in the book of Hebrews, we find the statements that Jesus is superior to the prophets, right? So if we go back and we just think through, the first thing that's said is that God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through His Son. So we go to the Gospel of John, and it says the Word was made flesh and the Word dwelt among us, and in the beginning was the Word, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the declaration, the explanation of who God is, of His righteousness, of His holiness, of His perfection and character. Jesus Christ was the express Word. And in these last days, God appointed Him to come and to take the place, or to in an exceeding way, in a superior way, to express what the prophets had been expressing through God's revelation in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, in the last days, in these last days, God spoke to us through His Word, and He became flesh that He might demonstrate to us righteousness, that He might demonstrate the holiness of God. And we see that God has spoken to us in His Son. And there's a couple of things that it says here. He appointed Him heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds. And we want to think of this in terms of that second person of the Trinity came, and the Scripture tells us He took upon Himself flesh. He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. His Father is God. So He has the essence of the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. Didn't cease to be the second person of the Trinity. But at the same time, He became as the offspring of David, born of a woman, of the offspring of David. And both of these things are true. And the book of Hebrews teaches this very clearly. And God appointed, just as He described to David in the Davidic covenant, which we're looking at in chapter 8 here, and coming into the new covenant, that through the Davidic covenant, God appointed an offspring of David to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He appointed him to be king, to reign over Israel, to reign over all the world. And this position, this exalted position, was given to the offspring of David, a man, an individual. Though he's the second person of the Trinity, though he came in the flesh and dwelt among us, this man was the offspring of David and an exalted man indeed. Here we have His Son. He appointed Him heir over all things, and and this was the individual. Notice that it says in verse 2 of chapter 1 that He, through this individual, through the person, through Christ, through the second person of the Trinity, He made the world. So this is not just your ordinary birth of a baby here. When Jesus Christ came, this was the Creator being birthed in human flesh. And we have an exalted Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ was superior to the prophets. He's the ultimate expression of God's love for us and of God's plan and purpose for us. He demonstrated righteousness to you as God's people, that you might know God. And so He's the expression. We beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't it wonderful that the glory of God has been expressed in Jesus Christ, and He has been spoken through by God. God has come and spoken to us in such a way. That's the ultimate expression of love. Leaving the throne of glory, leaving the glory that He had with the Father, He came and dwelt among us. And the Scripture says in verse 3, and look at Hebrews 1, verse 3 here, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Now notice what it's saying. He's divine. This, our Lord Jesus Christ, is deity. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the visible manifestation or expression of the glory of God. He's the exact representation, the exact representation of His nature. That means the divinity, nature of God, His divinity. And upholds all things by the word of His power. That tells us that this superior prophet is the one that spoke all things into existence. And then it says, when He had made purifications of our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this is what we want to meditate on this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ is there as our high priest, as we've studied about through this study in the book of Hebrews. He is there as our high priest. He is there seated at the right hand of the Father, but having taken care of the issue of sin. And so what we celebrate this morning at the Lord's table is that Jesus Christ has given His life that we might have life with the Father. And as our high priest, the Scripture says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. The reason that He's He's just. He's faithful because that's His nature. But the reason that He is just to forgive your sins is because Jesus Christ, your exalted priest, the one who has been raised up to be seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, is seated there because He has paid the full penalty for your sins. So the evil one comes to convict you and to condemn you for the sins that you have committed. And Jesus Christ, acting as your high priest, says that sin and those sins have been paid in full. And so God is just in His righteousness to forgo the wrath that should fall upon you, because Jesus has paid the penalty for that sin. And it's been paid in full by the work of Jesus Christ. And then as we move from verses 3, we have this: Jesus Christ is superior to the prophets. His word is superior in verses 1 through 3. And then it moves to Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. And it says, having become much better than the angels, He inherited more excellent name than they. For which of the angels did He say, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee? Now think of this in terms of the Lord Jesus. And it goes on to say, and the book of Hebrews is beautiful for the deity of Christ and His natures, both His humanity and His deity. Because notice here in verse 8 it says, but of the Son He says, Thy throne, O God. Now this is the Father addressing Jesus, the Son. And He says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Isn't that weird? I mean, you look at that passage and here you have, but what you have is the expression of what we studied when God told to David that I'm going to raise you a house and I'm going to take your seed and I'm going to make this house forever. And this son of yours will not only be king who reigns forever, but he will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so God's house of worship, remember what that means? Okay, you got to want to think through it all. The house of worship means that God wants to dwell with man. And so that temple represented God dwelling with man. In the Old Testament, His presence was there. And in the New Testament, under the New Covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are enjoying His presence. And notice what He says about this individual that would be the offspring of David, that would be the fulfillment of the Davidic Covenant, that would bring in the New Covenant that we're celebrating this morning, which Jesus Christ said that this is the New Covenant in My blood. And it was the offspring of David and the fulfillment of the Davidic Covenant that this took place. And God said about this individual that was going to be the offspring of David, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Isn't that awesome? Here this individual that was born of Mary, of a virgin, is God Himself. And the Father acknowledges Him and expresses His divinity, His deity in this verse. Don't lose this passage. Mark it in your Bibles. Outline it. Use your yellow highlighter. And it'll keep you on track, because Jesus Christ, God the Father, said to His Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. That was His word. That was His promise to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, through Moses and to the Davidic covenant and into the new covenant, that there would be salvation brought to mankind by God's power. Now, who is our Savior? God is our Savior. God is the only one that was able to save us. And so the Messiah is a man of the offspring of David. And the Messiah is God Himself, who took upon Himself flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, God who thought it not, Jesus who thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father, came and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and He humbled Himself into obedience even unto the cross. That's our Lord Jesus. He is exalted and lifted up, and we want to magnify Him this morning. That's who we worship today. The Lord Jesus who came to save His people and deliver us. The Scripture says He came among His own received Him not, and Israel rejected their Master, their Savior. But as many as received Him, to Him He gave the power to become the children of the sons of God. And so salvation was brought. Notice in chapter 2, okay, so Jesus is the visible expression of divinity, and He's become the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of the Father. He's the expression of God. We beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In chapter 1, and beginning in verse 4, the superiority of the angels, we find that He is God's Son there in verse 5. And then we find that He is called God by the Father in verse 8. Then we find that God's plan exalted man above the angels. Notice in verse 6 of chapter 2, but one has testified that somewhere saying, what is man that thou remembrest him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor, and has appointed him over the works of thy hands. Now listen to this, verse 8 of chapter 2. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. You see what it's saying about humanity? God has exalted humanity. That through the virgin birth, the second person, God Himself, would take upon Himself human flesh. And we've made the point before, but we want to think about it this morning because our Lord Jesus is there. He's right there. And He's present with us here. But He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He's seated there in the physical body of the offspring of David. A resurrection body. A human, physical touch, taste, body that is there. And that's who we worship, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there on the throne, He reigns as King, and He's given to us the gift of His Holy Spirit. His Spirit dwells with His people. And so the Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what's our hope of glory? It's Christ's Spirit dwelling in us as His people. We haven't become gods, but we've partaken of the very nature of God, but through His Holy Spirit. God has given to us this communion and relationship and union with Himself through the Holy Spirit. And we enjoy that this morning as we come to the table. Okay, so God's plan exalted man above the angels, and He had to be made like His brethren. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren. What does that say? He came in the flesh. Jesus Christ came as God. In all things that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of His people. You see, it was necessary for Jesus to take upon Himself that human body, that human flesh, in order to bear our sins. And as our priest, He became the sin bearer for His people. And He became this high priest, but it was necessary, the Scripture says, that He would be made like His brethren. And that's what we talk about, the hypostatic union of Christ. His deity and His humanity, there together, were necessary for our salvation. And in the plan of God, through the offspring of David, through His covenants, the Word of God was given that one would come that would be sinless and that would bear our sins. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May He be magnified this morning in the body of Jesus Christ. May He be magnified in your hearts. And may you love Him like nothing else. And put all things aside except for this passionate love for our Lord Jesus, who laid His life down for our behalf, on your behalf, that you might be brought into the presence of the Heavenly Father and have communion with God Himself. And so what a wonderful thing we have. So in chapter 3, then, we have that Christ is superior to Moses. Now, this is important because the Jews in the Old Testament really clung to those promises under Moses and the land covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And the Scripture is teaching us here that when Christ came, that His superior position is exalted above the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And so we find that He was superior. There was more glory than Moses had in chapter 3, verse 3, where He has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And then in verse 5, Moses was a faithful servant, but Christ is a son over all of God's house. Now, you're God's house. Look at verse 5. It says, now, Moses was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful as a son. He owns the house. Now, notice what it says here. And over his house, whose house? What? We are. We're God's house. We're the temple, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The presence of Almighty God is intended to be with you. You're intended to enjoy His presence. And in light of that, we want to put everything else aside. Put your sin aside. Jesus Christ has dealt with it. He's not only dealt with the penalty of it, but with the power of it over your lives. You don't have to be crippled by sin anymore. You can pursue the Lord Jesus Christ with a pure heart. We can have relationship with one another in purity because of Jesus Christ. These things God has done through His Son. Well, I'm going to have to move on here. I just love to camp on it. But fourthly, in chapter 5, it begins the study that Christ has a superior priesthood. And then it compares, and we've looked at that, so I'm not going to take any time with it. But He's superior in His qualifications. In chapter 5, verse 9, it says that He became the source of eternal life. Now, the Levitical priests couldn't do that. They couldn't become the source of eternal life. They had a ministry in the temple, but it wasn't like this ministry. Christ's priesthood is superior. His qualifications make it superior. And not only are His qualifications superior, but He's superior in His priestly order. According to chapter 7, verses 1 through 28, and you can mark 7:17. In 7:17, it is attested of Him, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And this is a higher order of priesthood for Christ. So His qualifications and His priestly order were both higher than those of the Aaronic priesthood. Okay, you remember that, right? We just think through it. Okay, so let's think through it. Christ was higher than the prophets, right? Then what? Superior to the angels. Then what? Superior to Moses. Okay, then what? Superior in the priestly order, okay? And when we think of the priestly order, in His qualifications, that's all we got to remember, in His qualifications and in the priestly order, the order of Melchizedek, which we studied about. So that's our Lord Jesus. And we want to bask on Him. Don't just come here on Sunday morning, meditate in the book of Hebrews about our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, you know, next week, and we're going to pick up and look at the covenant, the new covenant in Christ. But I'd like to ask the men to come forward, and we're going to gather around the Lord's table. And we're here as pure and innocent as can be because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ.